October board meeting in Santa Barbara, where we had a presentation on low-impact development featuring pervious concrete. And I've provided a write-up here that talks about some of the many benefits. In fact, that was part of my introduction of Mr. Owendell at the time, was all the many benefits that accrue when you start talking about recharge and erosion and downcutting of creeks. And I even threw in here the idea that with less runoff and less flashy flows, that there's less trash that gets carried off to the ocean. And we recently, as staff, saw a video on plastics in the ocean, which I'd like to, if the board is interested, I'd like to provide copies for you, and it's short, but it's pretty enlightening because it goes beyond the notion of plastics from the aesthetic standpoint of being a problem in the ocean, but actually being a problem in the food chain. And so we've kind of folded that into this notion of low-impact development. But I think, even though we were already talking about that internally, when Chair Young and I discussed it, he said he thought it would be a good idea for the board to at least try allocating a period of time on the agenda for kind of a freewheeling discussion of priority water quality issues that aren't necessarily the kinds of things that end up in front of you for action items. And so we've provided a little bit of information here with this staff report, and thanks to John Robertson and Karen Wooster, who assisted me with preparing this. And just to provide some additional background, we provided some attachments, which includes the Watershed Management Initiative chapter priorities, our regional priorities, and then the triennial review list, which you can see is a fairly lengthy wish list of priorities. And like I said, I imagine you have something to add as far as an introduction.
I would just add that we tend to spend a lot of time, we're forced to spend time dealing with permit issuing, and the green light is on. How's that? That's better. Okay. We tend to spend a lot of time out of necessity dealing with issuing permits, doing enforcement and other things, and planning issues tend to get kind of put aside, and they may be the most important things that we could be dealing with in terms of big picture items. And because of what Owendell had talked about, and then also at the WQCC, and I think that's what kind of prompted me, Roger, somewhat, was the criticism that boards tend to not do enough planning, and perhaps they should, and perhaps more of the administrative permitting issues ought to be kept with staff and not the board. And initially my thought was let's not give up too much to staff that we don't need to, but then in kind of reflecting upon it, where could we make the most impact long term? And it may not be dealing with some of the details in permits or with enforcement in the long run. It may be trying to get our ship moving in a certain direction, dealing with some of these other items. And Roger has had staff list them on page 3. I would add plastics to that list as he brought it up, and I would invite us to add anything else that we want to put on this agenda that we could address. And so the thought was that we would devote some board time at each board meeting, if you guys want to do that, if you're on board with this, and we would maybe try to tackle or discuss one or two issues. We could set up presentations as part of the agenda on more information on some of these. We could just spend some time and just talk, without any real constraints, because we can't really do that with a lot of items because of our public noticing limitations. So that was really the genesis for all of this, and I think Roger's done a great job at compiling some of the issues dealing with appropriate landscaping and impervious hardscapes, and it's kind of a segue into some other things that are coming up with the MS4 permits, which I think will be an opportunity for us to get into VMPs and stormwater management and runoff, and we can it'll really be our first opportunity. Is this in February?
Right.
In February to start to, as a board, look at, you know, what staff has been working on in terms of VMPs and some of Owendell's issues. So that's where we're at with this. That's what I'd like to see happen. Bruce?
I'm a very big supporter of trying to do some of these big picture things. I agree that we get bogged down the details, and there are probably some big things that we could be doing that we're not doing because of that. So taking some time to do something like that, I mean, to leave as a legacy, if nothing else, is, I think, a very worthwhile thing for us to spend some time doing. Personally, I mean, you know, this is a nice list of various topic areas and so forth, and we can clearly spend 30 minutes each board meeting talking about a different topic area, but that doesn't necessarily actually accomplish anything. I think a better thing for us to do is to pick, you know, one or two of these things to be our project, our kind of pet project, and we would then work on that repeatedly and maybe have reports every couple of board meetings and actually try and accomplish something with these topics, not just talk about them. So I would, you know, like to see that happen so that, you know, at the end of my term in 2 years, we can actually have done some of these things and gotten something to happen. About the issue of pervious surfaces, I'm a very big fan of trying to do something with that because I think the benefits are just so, you know, multi-faceted from different areas. To give you some examples of how that is starting to happen, as you know, the L.A. Basin, the L.A. Board, put in place for, I think, trash or stormwater, a requirement that three-quarter inches of rain, the first three-quarter inches of rain that falls, has to be kept on site. And I thought that was pretty creative and a good thing to do because, again, the benefits are multiple, you know, from the flooding aspect to the, you know, the pollutants going into the runoff and recharge, and I thought that was a good thing. So maybe that's something we can look at to see, you know, the basis that they did it in. Maybe we can consider that. That could also be an element, I think, of the stormwater management plans, the phase two that we're doing, because one of the requirements in there, buried among all the other ones, is that the agency do something about trying to minimize stormwater, and, you know, they might not do much with that one, but I think if we kind of make that be a real hot button and give them some examples and so forth, and maybe the jurisdictions can actually, you know, accomplish things, you know, put things, as we saw for the Owendell case, he had difficulty even putting in a pervious driveway because the planning commission and the building department just didn't understand it, didn't believe in it, and they had restrictions. So, you know, that's one of the things that's also part of the stormwater management plan is that some of these changes need to get baked into, you know, the planning documents for that agency. So, again, that's an area where we might be able to even just make things possible, not even go beyond that and make things encouraged. In my local area, the Committee for Green Foothills, that's a kind of environmental and planning nonprofit in Santa Clara and San Mateo counties, has recently gotten a grant from the Santa Clara Valley Water District to study pervious surfaces and impervious surfaces and their impact. So it's being looked at by some of those groups. So I think that's something we can certainly monitor and see what they're doing. And in my own little community of Capitola, I went down recently to a hearing about a new real estate development of retail area going in. And they were going to replace the pavement and do some grading, and I managed to convince them to put in bioswales and to look at doing recharge with, you know, maybe pervious pavement or you know, French drains under the parking lot, stuff like that. So, you know, it's the kind of place that I think we can make a big difference with some of those. As I told them, you know, you're going to replace this parking lot, you know, once every 30 years. So if you make this change now, it's going to have, you know, many years of benefit for one change now. So, again, I think it's by making some of these changes, I think we can have some long-term benefits long after we're off the boards.
you know, my hope is certainly in line with yours. I don't want us to be doing this just for the purposes of discussion, but I would hope that with these list of items that we talk about, we're going to learn what staff is already doing. And frequently there's a lot going on behind these walls that we're not, you know, informed of, not up to date on. Staff is already halfway to where we think we would like to be anyway. And so we're going to become more informed with what they're doing. But I would like to see that for these items, that some of them may end up as a basin plan amendment or as a TMDL or something of that nature, so that it does get focused and gets memorialized as to what we would like to have happen down the line.
Definitely one of the perils I'm looking at is, you know, when I first came on the board, some of us brought some attention, I think, to the MTBE issue. And that started becoming a regular item on our agendas. You know, just the board member focus on that, the staff focus on that. And I think we can just look at our reports and say, you know, we've made a whole lot of progress in those few years just by looking at the things, making sure they're publicly discussed. And I think if we can pick out a couple of things on this, you know, wish list and do a similar kind of, you know, focused board consideration and staff consideration, I think that could actually, you know, have some great benefits. So I'd recommend that we do that.
Okay.
So go through the list and pick out a couple and say, that's what we're going to do as our project the next couple of years.
Okay. Well, it may not take that long with some of them.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
And so I'd like to keep the list intact, and we
that's
may
fine.
Just add or delete from it and make sure that it's there, you know, as a potential, you know, item. Dr. Press?
Well, I also applaud this effort very much, and also recognize that staff is working on these issues. To the extent that the limitations to further policy development and implementation are financial, gee, and what a thought. I would like one contribution that I would like to propose to make. I don't know if this is practical or even desirable from the point of view of the staff, but I would like to offer my services helping to raise matching funds for either for C-CAMP or for directed programs here. We have, after all, in our region quite a lot of foundation activity, as well as state and federal grants. Of course, we are, in a sense, a re-granting agency ourselves, thanks to settlement funds and so on. But much of that money is re-granted outside and isn't used by the board. So to the extent that external funds, extramural funds, would be helpful for both policy development and implementation, to the extent that they could be used by the board, I don't know what proscriptions there are against doing so. There may be some, I don't know. But anyway, to that extent, I would be glad to go with the chair and the executive officer and make presentations to foundation program officers throughout the region from Los Altos to Santa Barbara. Because that's what we do in the university. We raise extramural funds. And you guys are good at it. We're good at it. But maybe we can combine our efforts. Usually that means identifying something quite specific that you want done. Usually that also means putting up matching funds, but they can be matched in-kind grant matches of staff time. And then shopping it around. So I'm willing to put that effort in to the extent that that's useful to the staff and not an additional burden that just doesn't, you know, it's just on top of their work. So there it is.
Can we do that as
well,
board
we're
members?
We're not a fundraising organization. Right. However, actually, later on in the agenda, we will get into the issue of matching funds, and what I'm thinking of is with items 24 and 25 on the use of settlement funds and the issue of matching funds there. So certainly you know, the issue comes up, but we're not a fundraising organization per se.
Reaction I have to that, I think it's a great idea, but if we're going to accomplish some of these programs that we're talking about, and they really are programs, we may well, in fact, probably will have to have some partners working with us, either forward-looking agencies, nonprofits, environmental groups, and then they could be the funding destinations there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, but I want to point out that sometimes it makes all the difference if an agency like the regional board and represented by the executive officer and board members actually show up and put in person with the partners to make these presentations. Sometimes that's just what it takes to really secure serious multi-year funding.
I'm supportive of that. I would gladly participate in that. There are foundations in Santa Barbara that would be probably very interested in participating, even in a region-wide effort to look at some of these issues. So,
I can look into what the legal constraints are, too, particularly for things that are pending before the board, because there would be ex-party constraints. It's pretty common for regional boards to have a memoranda of understanding with other public entities or nonprofit entities to do these sorts of things, and an issue that arises is whether the board's actually becoming a participant or a discharger in a project that's going to later come before you. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of things need to be watched for, so I can put some of that together.
Great. Thanks.
That would be great. Mr. Jeffries.
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but I will.
Okay. Well, you were leaning forward, and
I just
like with Gary,
like to
when
see
I see
Lori
the,
down
I
there.
See the pen rise, I think.
But I think it's a good idea, and I think my colleagues have heard me say several times, it's nice to be proactive instead of reactive all the time. And it seems like sometimes we get bogged down in issues and not think about the future. And I was just sitting here thinking how we can put this information out to the cities and the counties of our findings, and how we could do demonstration projects, and not only for our region, but you know, throughout the state of California, and possibly it would spread across the nation. What we're trying to start here, not that we're going to invent the wheel, but there are many ways. I know Dr. Press brought up he'd be willing to go out, and I think all of us would be willing to participate, but I think the universities could play a big part in doing some of the work, and that would be a way that we could use those matching funds to give them to do some of the work. We have a limited amount of staff. But I'm very happy that, Mr. Chair, you've taken the initiative with the staff to bring this forward to the board to look at these things, because as we see it, as the population grows in these areas, the runoffs and trash is becoming a greater concern to all of us. And what do we do with it, all of it? And water, I don't know who said that whiskey's the drink and water's the fight over. I think Mark Twain probably said that. But I think it's important that whatever we can capture and put back to Earth is going to benefit the future generations. And again, I applaud you for taking the lead of this. That's why you're chair.
Right.
Is to do that. But
well, does everyone feel we should allocate some time on each of our agendas to this item?
Well, I don't know if each agenda, but probably most agendas, because there'll be times that, you know, maybe a brief update on the executive officer's report if where it's going, but that it may not be anything really to report on each agenda because of the time of developing whatever we're doing, the information.
Okay.
Well, just on that point, if this is something that we did agendize every other agenda, it would be basically quarterly. And as you said, it might make more sense for from the standpoint of developments in between to
right.
have them spaced that way.
But I say go for it.
Okay.
But I agree with Mr. Daniels. Let's not try to fill our plate up with a whole lot. Let's take a couple that we think we can accomplish, and probably the most important ones right off the bat. They're all important, but the ones that really stick out right away and start working on those.
Okay. Mr. Shallcross.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of chime in on the impervious surface issue. I think that's, from my viewpoint, one of the big ones that I'd like to see us go after. At the same time, I'd like to get staff's input on which of these they think the board can be the most effective on, because they have a different take. I mean, yeah, we're interested in all these things. You know, Bruce and I are both interested in impervious surfaces, but I think the staff might have some good input on which of these that they think our limited time can be best used on developing.
Well,
and that doesn't have to be right now. But.
Well, let me tell you what I think about that off the top of my head, and it is with some thought in putting this item together. As we discussed at the offsite meeting in June, we thought it would be a good idea to pursue riparian buffer zones, and we talked about the benefits of those. And as we've indicated here on page 3, middle left-hand column, buffer strips provide pervious surfaces adjacent to creeks, which provide all the benefits discussed above for pervious surfaces. So, and then I couple that with the, as I was mentioned yesterday, we've had workshops. Two in Santa Barbara that were stormwater workshops, but they're specifically geared towards low impact development. And Mr. Jeffries, you were talking about the universities being a good area for pilot or demonstration kinds of projects, and that's exactly what we had with that Manzanita project down at UC Santa Barbara. And so that was used in our workshops as a living, breathing example with data. You know, and that there's nothing more powerful than showing a graph and the effectiveness of something like bioswales and retention of water on site. So as you've noted, Mr. Chair, we've got some things underway in the stormwater vein of things, and what I think that leads to is that if we look at the list on page 3, lower right-hand column, where we've listed kind of a whole menu there, I think the first three items, riparian buffer zones, low-impact development, innovative stormwater management, can all kind of go together as a good package in looking at this issue of reducing runoff, retaining water on the land kind of more holistically. And all of those three, I think, would be excellent goals for us to continue to work on within our existing programs, and to the extent we can kind of break out of our existing programs, maybe along the lines of what Dr. Press was talking about.
That's perfectly fine. I mean, that does fit in with that scheme.
And I think with our getting into the phase two of the stormwater program, it's also just really an ideal window of opportunity to kind of steer that in the direction that we've been talking about. And we'll have a substantial discussion on that at the February meeting. So this is a good thing to keep in mind as we're talking about those stormwater management plans at our next meeting.
Do you see anything else, Roger, on page 3 that can be bundled together and maybe have some degree of importance with respect to water quality impacts that might be a future topic?
Well, as I said at the introduction of this item, there are so many benefits from the idea of keeping more water on the land. For example, we've listed salts management in critical basins. Well, the more recharge you have, which tends to be low concentration as far as salts, then the better off the groundwater basin is as far as salts. So you get that incremental benefit in terms of groundwater quality, not just quantity. If you're talking about something like salts or nutrients, any residual pesticides, I mean, there's so many spin-off benefits that's why I was focusing on those first three and thinking, you know, there's so many side benefits to be gained from focusing on those. So I think that would be a lot to to bite off, and would certainly be worthwhile to try to pursue. Are you asking about some other individual topics for future discussion?
Right, that might have some level of ability to be bundled together like the first mm-hmm. three, and that might be something we could get our hands around,
yeah,
our arms around.
Well, some of these things will be coming up in their own right, notably salts management in basins. There is a crying need for that in our region. And in terms of basin planning, our salts objectives and our basin plan are pretty out of date and kind of misleading in a lot of cases. So we definitely need some work there. But I think that's something that we can continue to try to get to as our basin planning funds allow.
How does the rest of the board feel about if with these other items, perhaps staff prepared just some kind of a brief position or status on, you know, when I see fire management, I'm not quite sure what that means and what's involved, how it impacts water quality. I mean, I can project what that might entail, but I'd like more information about it without us getting involved in it, but just to be briefed on it. That's why I thought maybe if we did have something at each board meeting, we may not be delving into it, but just being informed. That could just be a written report. And if there's someone from the public that wants to comment on it, that would also invite more information to come forward on something. So,
and maybe just a couple paragraphs on each one explaining
right.
what kind of, I mean, like, I had the same question on fire management. I had the same question on endangered species management. I mean, what's our, again, I can guess, but, you know, how are we, what right. can we do as far as managing, you know?
Well, and again, as, you know, as I mentioned previously, one of the spinoffs of keeping more water in the land is with more recharge, you get more base flow in your creeks. And for many of the endangered species that we have in our region, the water-dependent ones, the water quantity is a critical factor, the lack of habitat because of lack of base flow.
Or water temperature or water sedimentation.
Well, and the temperature is affected by the amount of base flow.
Yes.
So, again, that would be a spin-off benefit of increasing recharge, decreasing surface runoff, having less flashy creeks, having more base flow in creeks. That would be a huge benefit for many of the water-dependent species.
Right. I can see where it would definitely be a benefit. I was just curious as to what and anyone in the staff thought that the board could actually do as far as implementing a program or moving a program along
mm-hmm.
that would deal with this specifically.
Yeah,
not necessarily as a spin-off of other things that we can do directly.
Right.
I don't know.
We could. We could
maybe use the paragraph on each one.
We could do that.
On whether, you know.
Mr. Chair, I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, these items that that Mr. Briggs was talking about. I was thinking about, you know, development that most cities or most developers that are required that with the water issues of zero landscaping. Which means that there isn't a whole lot of area for natural way to recharge with percolation. What I mean is they don't put any lawns in. They put a lot of rock, a lot of concrete, which means a lot of runoff. In the developments that I've seen, especially with the city of Salinas, there isn't any way to capture water. They don't have any basins that they could use, and where they establish parks, they could establish basins there that could be collected during the winter portions of the year, that would, that water would be recharged back in the aquifers. Most of the time when they do developments, they try to get the water off the property into the storm drains, which is lost. So I would like to see us work and to, as Mr. Briggs brought, where we capture the water and it's retained on the property, not per se on an individual lot, but within somewhere near that residential area, that it could be reused some way, either percolation or some other type of use. Because the way they develop is, quite frankly, is to get the water off the property.
Get it away from the foundation. That's
well, nobody wants their house flooded,
right.
That's for sure.
But that's what starts that whole process. And so
but, you know, the riparian buffer zones are, in, we talk about low-impact developments, and that's one way we can help them, and that's why I hope that we can develop something and pass this information on to cities and counties, that when they do these developments, that they can, if we can prove to them that it's a benefit, and there is a benefit, that they can build these into these developments as they're approving them. You know, it'd be a benefit to everybody instead of the loss.
Do we, as part of our MS4 process now, is staff encouraging the use of any permeable hardscape?
Yes.
Okay. So
permeable hardscape, yes.
Permeable concrete.
Mushscape.
Mushscape.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like then with our February meeting, then we'll have the opportunity with a number of MS4 permits to get into this more. Mm-hmm. Do we need, I mean, it sounds like we could then just focus on these maybe top three items.
I think that'd be a good idea.
The way you've laid it out, and we'll see, you know, what we can do at least to get our thoughts maybe implemented with what staff is doing.
I'm sure as we dig into this, we'll probably touch on some of these other areas that are listed here as well.
That's right. Yeah, some of these just may be, you know, kind of benefits that are just sucked up in the process. That here's three that I pull out that I think I would like to see us get to at some point. Endocrine disruptors, pharmaceuticals, and other emerging chemicals impacting water quality, and sublethal toxic effects. I think that somehow those could be bundled.
I think one of the things we might want to do is to distinguish. I am interested in those as well. But for me, I think I look upon those as informational, as those are things that are going to be impacting us in the future, and to the extent that we can know about them now, we'll be better able to handle them when they do become issues, when they do have MCLs associated with them. So I would separate education from action. And I think the first three and the impervious surfaces are things that we probably know enough about now to be able to start doing actions on, whereas the others, I wouldn't know how to act on it right now, because, in fact, I think the whole, you know, educational and research facility doesn't know enough about them either. And so to the extent maybe we can have some people come in and talk to us about those and educate us about those, that would be good. But I would separate that from the action.
I'm on board with that. I mean, we can get educated, and it may be that there is something, though, that we can do.
Maybe.
Once we get educated, and it may be that we could just add some monitoring component to CCAMP that would start to, you know, give us some data like we did with toxicity and nutrients, where we started to lay the foundation for our ag program. So,
not to keep harping on the same thing, but those are examples of issues where the academic community would like to do more research. The academic community would like support for that research. The academic community would like an outlet for that research. So to the extent that staff not only briefs us on these issues, but identifies emerging questions that they want answered, then the board can communicate with the academic community and say, look, this is something that we need to know more about. So we support research in that area. Maybe eventually sometimes that means that monies can be used by research, the research community, and then come. I mean, I'm thinking about the Otter study, for example, and that's an example of the academic community partnering with state agencies and the private sector to come back with very fine research, but also very policy relevant research. So sometimes we may not have answers, but we have questions, and it's important to communicate those questions to the research community, because they often like to know who's listening.
Are you referring to the Environmental Studies Department specifically, or
no,
just in general?
No, I'm talking about
an academic.
This is the state of California.
Okay.
The state of California has the probably the best concentration of scientific research in the world. So let's make sure that they know what we want to know, and help that process along.
We got the Bren School also.
I know.
And we've got
Cal
Santa
Poly,
Cruz. So let's
yeah.
And Cal Poly.
And
so
that's just in the region, but I mean,
right.
there's a lot more.
Well, we've got that's a lot.
And Bari.
Okay. Well, then let's put something together in that respect, and I would be very happy to join, you know, with you. And
but this is something that also can come from staff. If staff says, we would love to tell you more about this, but there are some real information gaps. There's some real important research that needs to be done. I would leave it, like, even if staff were to tell me the one thing that we would like to know more about, after consulting with EPA about endocrine disruptors, if there was one kind of topical area that we would really like to know more about before we could even begin to talk about how this fits into the regulatory process, here it is. And then this gets communicated to the research community, and on and on and on. It's a useful thing.
Well, on those, the first two that you mentioned, there, the endocrine disruptors and the pharmaceuticals, they, of course, the Department of Health Services,
right,
from the standpoint of human health effects, is probably the primary agency in the state, and then there are the national or federal agencies as well dealing with health issues. And so from that standpoint, they're probably in the forefront as far as trying to sort these things out. And that would come into play in terms of how that would affect our permitting,
yeah,
in the future, waste discharge requirements. But I think if we, my guess is that Karen, you probably put those three items in there, and I think if we provide a paragraph on each one, and
I'd even suggest if we could get someone from DHS to come and talk to us about endocrine disruptors and tell us what they know and what's unknown in the field now. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'd be willing to take 30 minutes or so to hear that.
But as I said, they would have the human health angle, but not necessarily the wildlife. Mm-hmm. Aquatic habitat angle.
And that is also my concern, is not just human health, but the cold water habitat, fish habitat. I mean, those are the other beneficial uses also. And human health effects does get the bulk of public attention, maybe rightfully so.
Well, I think with endocrine disruptors, I mean, the effects on frogs have been
well
publicized.
It's startling.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what else is that doing? So, Gary?
Yeah, I don't know how detailed you want to get in this discussion, but one project comes to mind that someone, probably not staff, maybe a student could do, is I think what we need to look at, based on the gentleman who had trouble getting the permeable driveway in,
yeah,
is look at all of the planning regulations throughout the region and find out what kind of roadblocks people are going to run into. Because if we can go talk to the jurisdictions and get them to change regulations that might impede this sort of a project up front, then we're not going to run into problems later on. It just seems like it might be a good student project.
Okay.
Well, I think that's even an area. Most of these agencies are required under the Stormwater Management Program to be encouraging this kind of stuff. So that's something that's mandated, is that they look at updating their planning documents to allow us and to encourage this. So I think we could just mandate it rather than us having to spend our cycles accomplishing it. But I agree that
well,
something
fine,
we should
then
do.
Then let's mandate it. But.
Okay. Where would, you know, I had a few. Oh, go ahead, Les.
Sitting here thinking, sort of chime in on some of my thoughts. Some of these things I've worked on for a number of years in terms of land use and riparian corridors and so forth. And I think one of the most difficult and creative part of the process is to achieve a consensus. And the best example I can give you is the issue locally of riparian corridors. And the idea being that, okay, if you establish the riparian corridors, then you're going to take agricultural land out of production currently. And so how do you convince, say, the landowner that's a good idea? How do you achieve a consensus on the way to achieve these projects? And that's probably been the most difficult and time-consuming process in, for example, the creation of the state estuary, the national estuary, and the Moros view corridor locally. Is how do you get disparate groups from the Sierra Club to agriculture, for example, to come to a consensus that this project is necessary, that there's a certain give and take, and that is a critical component that's often the most time-consuming.
Well, it sounds like we'll get into that discussion as we get into how to develop that policy.
I think we're partnering with conservation agencies, San Luis Obispo Land Conservancy, for example, Elkhorn Slough Foundation, you know, as we have in the past, and maybe focusing on that kind of a cooperative approach even more coming valuable, because that is a tough issue, you know, the conversion of land use.
Just look at the wastewater project in Los Osos.
I think that's a good reason to pick one or two things like that and just concentrate, because we can look at them and say, yeah, that's obvious, but you know, the doing is going to be very difficult and time consuming, and we need to keep the attention on it. So.
And I also think it's both educational, insightful, and imperative to have all of the stakeholders on board as soon as possible at the outset in the development of these projects.
And I think thinking of this like the ag waiver, I mean, that was a big project for us.
Exactly.
Doing these things may be like doing another ag waiver, and we need to be prepared to put in the effort and the thought and involve everyone to accomplish them. I agree.
Talking about Los Osos, you know, we have seen the photographs of flooding when it rains, and, you know, my thought came to mind that maybe since they're not putting in a stormwater system, if I'm correct, it's just a sewer system,
right,
that there may be some opportunity for some of this, you know, buffering and swales and natural drainage components maybe to be showcased there or developed there, you know, as part of this process. You don't think so, Bruce, huh?
I think part of the problem is that they already have high groundwater, so putting more recharge into it could actually make the situation worse. But
well, so that there's not flooding. I mean, it's more in the contouring and channeling, so that you've got not standing water, but, you know, directed water that's cleaning itself.
We're thinking about what I'm skeptical.
Okay. I had a couple of things, just notes, if I could just throw out and see if we can't do something with. You know, the manzanita data, there is data now that shows the reduction in pollutants off of those buildings. And, you know, I'd like to maybe just get the data in a written report to us would be great, if we want to have it presented to us. We could do that also at some point, but you know, maybe we could put that on the list. Roger mentioned plastics, and I don't know how many of you had seen the presentation or read about it of the researchers that went offshore and found plastics in the ocean down to, okay. It's quite troubling that plastics, when they get in the ocean, degrade into tiny, tiny particles, and they're taken up by the food chain, and they're also not taken up, but they interfere with the food chain in some dramatic ways. And I'd like to see I've gotten the articles because you sent me the links to them, so I've read about that, but maybe there's something we could be doing with that in terms of, well, why don't you come up with some suggestions? Would we need to do a plastics TMDL or something? Something that we could...
It's actually very similar to the LIT trash TMDL.
Right.
Why do I feel like Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate? Think plastics.
Yeah.
That's my future.
Yeah.
But that's the other end of the chain, though, isn't it?
Right.
But staff, and you could tell us, should we be encouraging anything with respect to plastics at all? I'm interested to know. Mm-hmm. How can we encourage increased application of low-impact development concepts? I know that we've got, you know, grant funds that we, you know, can make available as a motivator, and you have put in here the idea of a competition that might be a good way to increase, you know, the public's awareness of this, but. I was talking to some other people about this idea, and they thought, what about some kind of a credit system where if they increase their use of these low-impact systems in their developments, that they would get some other type of a benefit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that would be at all. Anyway, what we would like to see at the February meeting, you know, we're going to have the MS4s anyway come before us. That's a given. And for this time slot, what would we like staff to come back to us with for this agenda item? Do we want to just now focus on
those three?
Okay.
Just focus
in an outline. And
well, I think we can provide the paragraph with an 8x10 glossy photo of each one of the subjects here.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Any other thoughts or comments? All right. We can... Carol? I see you reaching forward.
Just to the recorder. Wait, every time you change, I have to change the track.
Okay. All right. All right. Should we move on to our next agenda item?